God, Heavenly Father, help us accomplish that. Help us in our everyday life that we would be honoring to you in all things, that we would truly bring you glory, that that would be our ambition, that we would fear you and keep your commands. And so in this dark place, shine like stars in this universe. So in this dark place, we have a light that burns, that where people can find answers according to your word. God, let the light shine in me. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our theme for 2 Peter has been to shine in a dark place. I don't think I'd get any disagreement at all that the area that we live in is dark in many ways. We've also articulated the fact that we are not as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, and so there are things that we can rejoice in and be glad in the things that God has brought us to. Today, we're going to talk about being enticed from 2 Peter 2, 14 through 18. The enticed are the unsteady, the thirsty, and the weak. These are people who are in need and are being seduced into false teaching, and so we should be aware of it, and we should look to satisfy the needs of those who are unsteady, who are thirsty, and who are weak. And so let's just dive into our text and see that that false teachers entice the unsteady. In verse 14 of chapter 2, it says this: they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls, their hearts trained in greed, accursed children. Peter has been discussing the devastation that false teachers bring to the church. And we've looked at the idea that these false teachers were then, that they will be now, they were in the past, they will be in the future. They are things that we need to understand and be ready for in regard to the attacks that they bring. And so he's been discussing who are they and what do they do. Well, here we find out that they entice unsteady souls. As we look deeper into this text, let's look at the idea that the unsteady are watched. The text says that they have eyes full of adultery. They are constantly looking for it. And we have seen across this country so many ministries fail because of sexual sin. And it's because there are those who are in teaching positions in churches that are constantly looking. They are lustful in regard to idolatry. You know, I often give this little analogy in your marriage relationship, that you're either putting out a red light: I am unavailable, I am unattractive, I don't want you, please get out of my face, I am absolutely uninterested in you. That's the red light. That's where we want every single Christian person who is married to be. Red light: I am no, I am not go, do not pass go, do not collect $200, I am no. Then there's the green light: yes. Some give this off, yeah. You want to go to lunch today? Yeah, sure. Do you want to come talk in my office? Oh, absolutely. Right? Giving off yeses. It's these signals that say, I am needy, I am longing, I am not getting what I need in my marriage relationship. People will put off this air. And again, we need to be the red light, absolutely no. If it's a invitation to lunch, no. Or who else is going? No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be there. You know, one of the things that I insisted on as I've built this building over the last 30 years is that every single door has a window in it, because we are to say no to sexual sin. We are not interested. You know, in Matthew 5:28, it says this: but I say that to everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery in his heart. We are prone to evil, prone to lust, prone to look at others. And false teachers make it a habit of doing so. This is what they're all about. Insatiable. We can see that in Ephesians 4, verse 19. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continued lust for more. Next week, we're going to look at our addictions. And we're going to understand that if we engage in these things, we need to understand they are never satisfied. It leaves a deeper and deeper hole in your life. It is something that destroys relationship. It is harmful. It is hurtful. And so what should we do? The red light is always on. The green light needs to be rejected. But we need to discuss the yellow light. What is the yellow light? Well, I know what the yellow light means. I think you do too. Just go fast. They might catch me on the last part of it. They might take a picture of my license plate, but hopefully I'm fast enough that they can't get there. You know, and some of us are putting out this yellow light. Huh? I don't know, maybe, yeah, sure, well, why not? Well, tell me about your last vacation. Now, that seems fine and dandy, does it not? But when we begin to ask personal questions, the red light needs to come back on. No, I'm not going to answer that question. Again, we need to understand that false teachers are looking. Lustful people are looking. And so we need to be aware that we are being watched all the time. Am I somebody who's putting off a red light, a green light, or a yellow light? And I would say, no, the red light is on. You know, the number two, the unsteady are lured. It says they entice. It's the idea to fish and fish with bait. I'm a great worm night crawler hunter when it comes to fishing. The bigger the worm, the better off I am. You know, it's interesting that I grew up in Eatonville, Washington, and we had these night crawlers that would come out every night. And you could go out there in the dusk of the evening, in the late night, and these big old night crawlers were everywhere. You could just pick them up, fill up cans full of them. I have never seen one here in Woodinville. I don't know if it's because I just don't stay up that late anymore. Maybe you got some worms, but you know what? We need to understand that fish love worms. And so what are we doing? Well, we're throwing out the bait. We're trying to lure somebody away from where they are. A lure, more and more, they've got so many different designs of them, but the lure seeks to imitate real life or to imitate the real thing. And so when we're promoting this idea of being lured, we're throwing out there what should be right or is close to being right. It's tempting to bite after it. Notice the text says they entice the unsteady. Who are the unsteady? They are those who tend to waver in their views, in their attitudes. They are unstable. We find them in Scripture described as the double-minded man. On Monday, I'm this. On Sunday, I'm that. I am a person of two thoughts. And we need to understand how important it is for us to not be in this category of the unsteady, because we are unprepared. We are, in essence, those that are being watched, and we will be attacked. We will be lured because we are, in essence, a yes and a no. I'm a yellow light. You know, the root word here for unsteady means to support with a stick. And so it's used of vines where we have wine vines and sticks that hold them up. It was used for the idea of a man with a cane. Eventually, I'm going to have a cane, and then we'll hobble around here on the stage. Or hopefully I'll retire sooner than that. But we're unsupported. And so the idea here is an unsupported, unsteady vine that is being ready to be devoured. Notice that it says the unsteady soul, the inner man. Who are you? You know, you came in here this morning, you have certain convictions, certain beliefs, certain attitudes, and there is an important aspect where we ought to know who we are. We should not be one of the unfortunate souls of the Little Mermaid. We ought to be strong and steadfast in regard to what we believe. But we're enticed. And what does that look like? That's the email that should not come to you. It's the email that says, hey, how you doing? It's the email that seeks to seek its way into a relationship and is enticing. It could be simply, hey, my vacation was great. How was your vacation? Well, where'd you go? I don't know. What did you like? And really what happens in this email format and on online platforms is they're an engaging and communication where you feel like it's not really here, it's not really real, it's kind of out there. And yet it is real because it has impacted families all over the place. There are email addresses you should delete, right? There are email addresses you should delete. You should not contact. You should have the discernment to know who to respond to and who not to respond to. And these things, again, it's just a form, some enticement. It could be just a relationship. Well, let me get that door for you. You know, let me get that door for you. And again, the thoughts go, well, my husband doesn't get the door for me. And these little things start to happen in regard to relationships. Again, we are to be a red light, a steady no. No thanks, I'll get it myself, right? But they're lured, they're enticed. False teaching seeks to satisfy something that is lacking in that other person. And so number three, the unsteady are targeted. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. They are good at this. They are good at what they see. They are good at identifying people. They are good measuring who is strong, who is weak, and who they should go after. They are trained in it. This is the idea behind the Greek word is vigorous training and physical activity, something that I have lacked a lot in my life. Notice that they're trained in greed. We've already looked at the idea that greed behind it is a powerful motive for them. Why are they doing it? They are greedy, accursed children. James chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." I want you to see something here that's very important. My sin comes from me. My sin comes from what I think of first, the things that I am desiring. It comes from the steps that I take to go into that sin. Nobody falls into adultery. Nobody falls into sin. It is something that you have thought about. In fact, you could put it this way. I could ask you this simple question. What is your next sin? And you know what it could be because it's thought about. It's meditated on. In fact, Scripture says it gives birth to sin. This is the process that goes on. And anybody knows that birth does not come very quickly, right? It doesn't come quick enough, but it is something that it takes a long time. So it's been delightful to see in the number of babies born here at Avondale Bible Church. We are representing the next generation, raising our kids in a way according to the Word of God. But I want you to see the connection between what my sin is and what I desire and being tempted by false teachers. False teachers are prying on the things that you are struggling with. So if you're struggling with identity, what are they going to do? They're going to tell you, you are so precious in Jesus Christ. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, that's not so bad, right? It's not. And they begin to weave these fabrics where, you know what? You struggle with identity. Well, let me tell you how to find identity in Christ. Just join this group or just give your tithe money to this purpose. You know, send this in and I'll pray a blessing over you. In fact, I'll send you a prayer scarf and you can wear that scarf and it can remind you of how I'm praying for you, that you find your identity and your purpose in the Lord. You know, there's a lot that is being said about purpose in the Lord, finding your purpose. You know what? I can answer that question in 3 seconds. What is your purpose? To fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. There is so much teaching about identity and self-fulfillment and self-actualization and self and self and self and self. We need to raise God's name up, be fearful of Him, and be obedient to all things that He has commanded. Isn't that the great commission of Jesus Christ, to teach them to obey everything I have commanded? For lo, I am with you to the very end of the age. That there is a mandate that we teach the Word of God, and what it prohibits, we don't do. What it promotes, we engage in according to the Word of God. That is your purpose, to fear God, to have enough reverence for God, to worship God in such a way that you would be obedient to God in regard to your life in your household. Sin, when it's fully grown, brings death. Jesus said very clearly, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. Amen? Amen. So when times are good, be happy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. A good life, an existence that is not drudgery, that is not worry, it's not stress, it's not anxiety. Yes, in this world we will have troubles. We know this, but we ought to live in such a way that we should be happy when God has enabled us to be happy. Happiness is a gift from the Lord. The Scriptures clearly say so. Again, what happens in Jesus Christ is we grow. We become stronger. We become able. We become capable. We become great in the kingdom of God. Has that ever occurred to you? That God wants you to be great in the kingdom of God? Eagerly desire the greater gifts. But the false teachers bring death. If I can get you to think something different, if I can pull you away. The Apostle Paul said it in Galatians, who cut in on you? You are doing so well. And my experience over a lifetime in the ministry is that there are those who were doing amazing and then just walk out of here and walk into a lifestyle of sin. And I'm shocked. These were missionary leaders. These were leaders in the church. These were elders. Couples that were committed here, leave here without the support that God has brought and failed. Failed and failed and failed. Again, what the false teachers are promoting is death. And we must understand that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to understand that the devil is constantly attacking us. We learned that in 1 Peter, where it says that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That is the mission of the devil. The mission of the devil is to destroy you, to eat you for lunch, to get you, if I may say this, out of the kingdom of God and into the kingdom of the flesh and out of ministry for the gospel of Jesus Christ and into all things that would pique your desire. It's death. So the unsteady, unsupported. I have to tell you this little story. Tore off my deck, all the top, and so what you're left with is the ribs, right? Can you get that vision in your head? All the ribs, the joists underneath the deck were exposed because we had ripped off the top, and so I put a couple planks on top of the joists, and I said to my wife and to my kids, "Don't step on the edges; you'll fall through." Right? And so what does my wife do? She walks across it and does one of these surfer moves, you know, and I'm thinking, ah! I scream, she screams, we all scream for ice cream, but she didn't fall through, and I thought, I told you, I said, I made this great, you know, speech, I told you not to do this, you can't afford to fall in this fashion, what were you thinking? Well, I don't know. Well, the next day, I fell through the deck. What was I thinking? I was not thinking. I was not aware. The dangers are there. They're always there. We need to understand that Satan seeks to give us so much temptation and so much lack of thinking that we fall through. It brings forth death. I remember hitting the ground thinking, okay, I'm not broken. And then it's like, am I bleeding? And I was not bleeding. And I thought, oh, the grace of God that he would let me be stupid and not put me to death. I can tell you plenty of stories where I've come close to death, and I'm just an idiot. But that is what the weak do. They fail. They fall. They experience death. Unsteady, unsupported. Can we see how important it is to be supported in the Church of Jesus Christ? To hand a stick or a cane that we might lean on, to teach the word of God to one another, to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another. Some dear men helped me this weekend. Serve God. Let me help you, Pastor Mike. Let me do that. Please let me do that. I'm so prideful. I've rarely asked for any help ever. But I will tell you at this point in my life, how precious it is for men to come aside and say, I will do this with you and for you. We need to be supported in the Church of Jesus Christ. Too often we are islands, we are isolated, we are lonely. The fact is we do struggle building relationships. In general, relationships are built over common interests. The Greek word for assembly is koinonia, to assemble together. And my encouragement to you is to support one another, to encourage one another, to have people over to your house, to offer to actually help. These words are meaningless. These words are meaningless. If there's anything I can do, let me know. They are meaningless. Offer something. I'll come over and do that deck. Really? Yes, I want to. Okay. Heidi, I'll do your ironing for you. Really? Unbelievable. Well, okay. Every Monday, let's have a fellowship together while we do it. again, offer something to support those who assemble in the kingdom of God. We must do it. Otherwise, we leave ourselves open to fall. Secondly, they entice the thirsty. These are some of the same thoughts that we've been talking about, but we want to continue in the text. It says, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of outer darkness has been reserved. Waterless springs. This is a term which should be a spring that is flowing at all times. In fact, in the ancient world, they would look for these green oases in a dry place, and there was great joy when they found water and great frustration when they didn't. You know, we are so used to just turning on the tap and using that for the dishes, and then we bottle our water just because we think it's cool. But water is available to us all the time. Clean, crisp, clear water. Maybe you don't like the fluoride. But, you know, it's water and it's available. We don't really understand how in this culture water was so needed to succeed. What are you thirsty for? I would ask this question. What are you thirsty for? Well, let's just dig into the text and understand this. The thirsty are led astray. Very clearly, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam. You see, here is the whole crux of the matter. We're going this way or that way, and the farther we get between the two, the more we cannot hardly be diagnosed or are seen as a believer. There is a right way. Do you know this particular idea is being severely attacked in the Church of Jesus Christ? Somebody told me they were at a church, and the pastor said to them, well, there are many ways to God. They said that was their last Sunday at that church. Do you remember East Lake Church? Remember, they were not that long ago? They had 8,000 people going. I think they had 8 campuses. Some of our youth were there because they were cool. The pastor wore jeans with holes in them, right? I mean, if I ever do that, please fire me. But they were cool. In fact, they were working on a holographic image so that in their different campuses, the pastor would preach and they'd have a live holographic image of him. And that is just cool, isn't it? That is awesome. It failed. The whole church failed, and I'll tell you why. Well, first off, the secretary admitted that she was a lesbian. And the church responded, well, how can we not love her? Leave her on staff, no discipline, no nothing. Well, that caught national attention. He was on the national news. Here we go, east side of Seattle, here in the national news. And they're interviewing this pastor, and this pastor says this. He says, there are lots of things in the Bible I don't believe. Can you imagine that? There's a right way and a wrong way. There is. There's a path of righteousness and there's a path of wickedness. The path of righteousness is keeping my life in order of God's commands. If I'm following God's commands, I am following the right path. We looked at this earlier here in 2 Peter, that it is a path to follow. We must not lose this objective or this understanding or this clarity. There is a yes and there is a no. There is the path of God and there is the path of the devil, and they don't intermix. We should be fleeing the things of the flesh and running to the things of righteousness. Again, when you're in conversations with people in the community or in the church, we need to talk about what's the right way. I've given this example before, but I have relatives that are extremely liberal and engaged in all kinds of things that are outside of God's commands. That's all I'll say about that. Well, okay, they're lesbians. Because they asked me a question, and they said, Mike, we know that you are a pastor, and what would you say to your congregation about that issue? I thought, that's the most honest question I've ever gotten. And I responded to them like this. I said, you know what? I am an extremely narrow-minded person. I take the Bible for what it says, and what it says is clear to me, and I try to put those things into practice and have compassion for those who have fallen into sin. Do you know that they thought, well, fine. I was honest. They were honest. We can have real conversations with people. Again, we know this, that your anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. What are we supposed to do? We've already looked at it in Peter with gentleness and respect, right? We talk to people with gentleness and respect. Hey, what do you believe? This is what I believe. Let's have a dialogue with one another. Let's be gracious about it. You know, these emails that go back and forth that are attacking are just simply vile and outside the kingdom of God. You can rail all you want, but nobody is going to be attracted to that. Now, does that mean I don't speak the truth? Well, I hope that you're hearing the truth this morning that's on the internet and anybody in the world could dial into it. Hopefully, I just didn't get too loud because we're going to talk about loudness here in a minute. But the thirsty are led astray. When you think about thirst, to be quenched, to be satisfied, to pop that, I know some of you will really object to this, to pop that Diet Coke, the rest of you love me, it's ice cold and you drink it down and it quenches your thirst. That's what the Bible ought to do to your soul, satisfies your soul, like popping the top, because we've gone the right way. Again, I must use John 14:6. Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. Follow after me. Christ is the focus. Where he walked, we walk. We had that song we just sung. If the crucifixion is this, then I'm there too, because God is with me. Number two, the thirsty are fleeced. Look at what the text says. The way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgressions. You know, you go back and you read this in Numbers. It's in Numbers. You find it. But it talks about what Balaam did. Balaam was a seer, a sorcerer, a person of divination, which means to talk to the dead and so forth. He was a prophet, and he's an enigmatic kind of person, right? And so, let's just say he's an enigmatic kind of person. But what did he do wrong? Well, God had told him clearly, don't curse the army of Israel. Just don't do it. Don't speak these things, no matter what is brought to you. But these messengers from King Balak, from a neighboring company, come and offers him, in essence, a whole household of money if he will curse the nation of Israel. Otherwise, they were going to destroy Balak and his country. And so here's this idea. I can make a lot of money if I could just get God to change his opinion. And so three different times, he says, well, let me seek the Lord again. Maybe he'll change his mind. It doesn't say change his mind. It just maybe he will answer. And this is what we do and understand, that these false teachers are seeking the cash payout, seeking the money. That's what they're doing. That was his transgression. He was in the ministry for the money. You know, we know that we pay salaries. I hope that the kids that went on the retreat understand how gifted John is and his ability to lead teens and to motivate them according to the Word of God. The workman is worthy of his wage, 1 Timothy chapter 5. But it is very often done in a wicked way where we're in the ministry for the money. And if we do it, we really aren't going to keep it small. We're going to make it big. Madness, the text says. If you go back, his donkey actually is seeing an angel of the Lord three times. And so three times he's trying to protect Balaam. And three times Balak has beaten his donkey. And this is what we do. We don't like the answer. We don't like the message from God. And so we beat it over the head. Again, we need to understand motive. If you're sending money out, be careful. Number three, the thirsty are disappointed. The text says, these are waterless springs and mist driven by the storm. Peter would have been very familiar with storms out on the Sea of Galilee that would rise up quickly and pass by. And so when rain was needed, instead what they got was fluff. Jude verse 12 says, again, let me find it here in my text, they are waterless clouds. And so we don't really understand this too much in Seattle. We get enough rain to, you know, just wash everything. But in places where farming community is needing, or agriculture in any case, we need water. We need water to satisfy. And so these are clouds without rain, a mist driven by the storm, waterless springs. These are all things that promise the answer but don't deliver. We'll look at this next week as we look at addictions. They promise freedom that they cannot deliver. Ephesians 4:14. Then they will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wave of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Don't be infants. Don't be part of this group that is thirsty for an answer and willing to take an easy out or something that seems to be right. You know, it was Rick Warren who had this 40 days of purpose. Some of you went through the program. Well, we didn't. And we didn't do it on purpose, because ultimately, the whole purpose was to find your purpose, I guess. And again, Scripture is so very clear on that, that we are just to fear God and keep His commandments. John 4, verse 14. And whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know, have we ever compared this to the fruits of the Spirit? Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness. Whoever drinks this water I give, they'll never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In him, a spring of life. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. This is what should be coming out of us as believers, a fountain. Remember that old hymn, fountain song? I forgot it now, but again, I will give them and they will never thirst. You know, ultimately, if we are obeying God and keeping His commandments and fearing Him, there's a satisfaction that comes. It's just a sense of a peace, Philippians 4, that transcends all understanding. It is something that happens to us, that we are, what Paul says, am I content? I've learned the secret. I'm content with a little or a lot. I am unapproachable in regard to this idea. I'm content. So many of us are striving for things that we don't understand from teachers we should not be listening to. Isaiah 55:1, I know you're familiar with this verse, but we have to give it to you. Come, every one of you who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor for which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. This is a message for Israel, of course, but we could just look at it by principle. Why waste your money? Why waste your money? Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Perhaps today is a day of change, a day of turning, that I will understand that I have been thirsty. And sometimes I'm thirsty for the right thing, that I have a hole that needs to be filled. I'm thirsty. But we need to look to our friends and partners in the church and say, help me. I don't want to thirst anymore. I want to be satisfied. I want to have my quench, what is it, the word? I can't remember. Who cares? And so let's finish with our sermon today. We entice the weak. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 18, for speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the earth those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. I want us to see that, number one, that the weak are manipulated. Loud boasts, speaking loud boasts. You know, when I thought of this passage and meditated on it a little bit, I did a little internet research. It's a lot of fun. Look up false teachers, and you can see a lot of just dialogue that's out there. But one of the names that came up was Stephen Furtick, you know, from Elevation Church. He's got 26,000 members. So if David does his thousands, or if Saul does his thousands, Furtick does his 26,000s. My goodness, that's a lot of people. And you know what? When you watch him, the guy is good looking, he is in shape, he is articulate, he is a motivational speaker like you probably have never experienced. He walks up and down the aisles and makes loud noises. He asks people to stand up and give a praise. In fact, his expectation is when he's preaching, Casey would say, stand up. And Casey would stand up, there we are, and give a clap offering to the Lord. Give a clap offering to the Lord for Casey. He's one of the guys who helped me with my porch this weekend. Lift him up. I mean, let's stand up with that. Let's stand up and give him some. Ooh. We never want to be driven by personality. We want to be driven by the Word of God. Amen. The still, soft voice. That's where God speaks. These people are manipulated. Let me give you an example. In their ministry handbook for baptism, they say 15 people need to be designated, and these 15 people need to be scattered around the auditorium, preferably in the back. And when the invitation for baptism is made, these 15 people are instructed to stand up and walk down the aisle. And the reason in their handbook it states that is because it's hard to be the first to stand up, so you be the first one, and people will follow you. That's manipulative. If they simply said, we have volunteers and let them come forward, now that'd be a great thing, wouldn't it? But the whole purpose was to manipulate the response. Again, this is wickedness. The text says, of folly, loud boasts of folly. It's futile, it's lacking in content, it is empty. So we need to understand and be careful that we as the people of God, we tend to say, okay, pastor, or okay, teacher, or we tend to follow. That's what we're made to be. We are made to be sheep. Be not many teachers, for in so doing you'll incur the greater judgment. And so I bless the Lord for every willing person who teaches in Awana, who teaches in the youth ministry, who teaches in the pulpit. But the rest of us, we're just sheep. We just want to follow somebody. And unfortunately, large portions of what are called Christians are engaging in what is not Christian at all. Number two, the weak are barely escaping. The text says those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Who's susceptible? The weak are susceptible. We know in Romans 8:26 that God helps us in our weakness and how to pray. But we need to understand that when people come to Christ, they don't know anything. And they are open to false teaching because they haven't had the Word of God clearly taught to them. They are brand new. And so when someone comes to Jesus Christ, if you've come to Jesus Christ soon, I want you to talk to somebody and say, would you disciple me? Would you lead me in a study of the Word of God? And you know what? There are many different tools for that, but even if we just pick up the Bible and talk about what happened in the sermon, join a life group in that regard. Have those discussions and understand that there are those who are weak. Your children are weak until they've been trained up in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. When they can answer the questions, the hard questions, that's when we know they are solid. They are supported. They are able to stand. Our kids fail. Many of you have seen your kids walk away. It is not because you failed to teach them the gospel. It is not because you failed to teach them the doctrines of Jesus Christ. It is because God gave you commands to do, and he gave your children commands to do, and they hadn't listened. The scripture says that you will not be judged by the sins of your father, nor the sons be judged by, or the father be judged by the sins of the son. We all have personal responsibility. So my appeal is just to help you understand this is why they are weak, because they are either unsupported or they're unknowledgeable of the things of God and have not decided what is right for them. Question, what do you think? What do you believe? Don't be angry about it. Be happy that they're willing to talk to you about it. And so finally today, the weak are at risk. They entice by sensual passions, the flesh of the flesh. They entice with sensual passions of the flesh. You know, I have to dial down on this a little bit. The Christian community is sexually frustrated in many ways. We're thirsty, we're weak, and we fail. The evidence is there. And so I would ask you to meditate on 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Just take that home as a couple and talk about the text. It says, don't defraud one another. Don't defraud one another. I'm going to say it again. Don't defraud one another by making it a conflict. Again, you've heard me say this. We ought to be healthy, happy at home. And so one of the things I want us to see as we look at this message today, we have the unsteady, we have the thirsty, we have the weak. It is our call to preach to them with clarity the word of God in all things. But we also need to understand that we are weak, we are thirsty, and we are unsteady. And so we need to do whatever we can to support and heal our relationships at home. Which you're doing faithfully. My challenge is just that you keep at it. Amen? Keep at it. God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this text today. That we are unsteady, we are thirsty, we are weak, and we fail, God. Help us be healthy, happy at home. Help us understand that your word in Ecclesiastes, where there's nothing better than to eat and drink, to enjoy your lot in life, to enjoy your spouse. God, these are clear instructions from your word. Help us be obedient to these things that should be bringing us the greatest joy, but often is creating the greatest frustration. And God, I know this, that Satan's design is to wrap us up, to get us confused, to get us struggling, to get us to walk in sin so that we do not obey your commands and so that the church of Christ seems that it is failing. God, help us succeed. Satisfy our thirst. Strengthen us in our weakness. May we be steady for the gospel of God. And I just pray these things with all humility. With all humility, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.